there was this big story because yesterday we picked this up in some of the newspapers, a notice in the newspaper, a public notice. And I'm going to go through it again, read as much as I can of it. It's quite technical, but public notice, application for the general release of genetically modified maize. Pioneer H Bread, RSA Pty Ltd, and then in brackets it says DuPont Pioneer, in Centurion, hereby informs the public about its intention to submit applications for general release of genetically modified, and then it says TC1507XNK603 maize into the South African environment. Then it goes on to say TC1507XNK603 maize has been produced by conventional breeding methods between progeny of two genetically modified maize events, namely, and it does name them, and it says TC1507 maize was modified by for insertion, I beg your pardon, of Cry1F gene. And then it goes on to say maize was obtained by biolistic transformation with PH18999A insert acid from plasmid. So it's quite technical. But anyway, the discussion has moved now to this application. Firstly, what am I supposed to understand by this application? How does it affect me in the long run as a consumer in South Africa? We're on the line now to Miriam Mayet, who is the Executive Director of the African Center for Biodiversity. Miriam, good afternoon to you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for inviting me on your show.
And this is extremely complicated for a simple mind like mine. What on earth are they saying here in this announcement?
Well, what they're saying, this is very standard for applications to either import or conduct trial releases or commercially grow GM seed in South Africa. And what this notice says is that DuPont and Dow, the developers of the technology, are about to request from the Executive Council Genetically Modified Organisms Act a permit to allow them to arc up seeds. So this is not an application for commercial growing of seeds. Previously they tried to get a commercial release permit. Somehow, either they withdrew the application, or our Executive Council did not allow the commercial growing of this particular GM seed. And what the seed is, it's a combination of different traits. It's the TC1507 is a trait belonging to Dow AgroSciences, and it confers tolerance in a crop plant to the weed killer glufosinate ammonium, and it also has an insect-resistant trait. And then the NK603 trait belongs to Monsanto, and this is the trait that confers tolerance in the crop plant to Monsanto's glyphosate, also sold under the brand name Roundup. And you know that this has been implicated in the court case in the U.S. So really what they want to do is to commercially bulk up this particular seed for the purposes of export to other markets or further experimentation like back crossing and so on. So this is a very typical application that we routinely see in the newspapers regarding GMO activities in the country.
Wait, so when they say they're applying to release it to the South African environment, essentially they say they want to test the market, they want to sell it?
No, they don't want to release it in the commercial markets. What they're saying is that this is not going to be for commercial growing in South Africa, but what they want to do is they want to use South African soil, they want to use our environment to produce GM seeds. So we, in the past, you know, we've been campaigning against this for more than 20 years, and we've already raised concerns, and we've said to government, you cannot allow these gene giants, these agrochemical companies, to use our environment as their testing ground. We are not their guinea pigs. And, you know, coming so close, you know, the irony is that they advertise this on the very same day when the U.S. courts gave the judgment against Monsanto, linking the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma suffered on the part of the plaintiff to Monsanto's glyphosate. And this particular application is for the bulking up of seed that will be sprayed with glufosinate ammonium and Monsanto's glyphosate. So I think that, I mean, I think it's important that you've called me and you've raised the issue because it raises bigger issues about what is being grown in South Africa, what is entering our food systems, what is entering our environment. And very few people know that up to 80 or even more percent of the maize grown in South Africa is GM and is sprayed with glyphosate.
Now, their argument will be, and you've said it yourself, that no, we don't want to go commercial on this. We don't want to sell it to the South African consumer. We just want to use the South African soil.
Yes, but the glyphosate will still be sprayed on the seed. It will affect farm workers who are employed in the process of seed production. It will go into the soil. It will go into our water systems as a result of agricultural runoff. So there are still implications for us. There could be contamination in the silos when the seed is stored, when it's shipped. The contamination issue is big in South Africa. Very little is not GM. So the issue is, I mean, there are issues around this particular application. And I have to tell you, in the past, they would get a field trial permit to allow them to do the same thing. But because we campaign for more stringent biosafety standards, they now have to go through the whole commercial release process where they also have to submit food safety data, even though it's not going to enter the food chain. But the point I want to make is that glyphosate is sprayed on GM crop plants in this country. It's a staple food and it's going into the bodies of our people every day of their lives. And I think it raises bigger issues, bigger food safety issues for us. And I think we have to examine very closely what is happening in the U.S. and also the paucity of scientific data available in South Africa about the potential negative impacts on human health as a result of people eating GM maize every day of their lives that have been sprayed with glyphosate, a toxic chemical that the U.S. courts have found to cause non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and has awarded damages in over $280 million.
Sure.
This is very, very, it's a very important case and it's a very important precedent. And I think we can't take this lightly. And I think we want to ask our government to reconsider its stance on both GM crops and glyphosate.
Now, when they make this application, to whom are they applying? Are they applying, do they want me as a citizen to respond or is it government that will respond on my behalf?
So, well, the application is to tell you and I, as the public citizens in this country, that this is what they intend to do. It's to give us 30 days to respond. And the application is made to the Executive Council that has been established by the Minister of Agriculture under the GMO Act. And on that council is a representative of various government departments, so Environment, Water Affairs and Forestry, Trade and Industry, Science and Technology, and these people make a decision on our behalf. So what happens routinely is that we make an application in terms of our public access to information legislation, to access to the data, the application, the risk assessment, and then we routinely object to it. But our government, they are bound to take our comments into account, but we have very rarely been able to persuade them to find, to reject an application, particularly in regard to maize and soybean. We have had successes in the past where we successfully resisted the commercial release of a GM potato. So in terms of a new food crop, we have a bigger chance. But in terms of maize and soybean, we haven't really been able to persuade our government to reject it.
Sure, because a lot of people, of course, are saying to me, well, we already are eating GM maize in this country. But How does somebody who doesn't have the technical know-how of all of these subjects participate? Or if you don't have any technical know-how, then you're out of the debate?
They're out of the debate. So what happens is people on social media will contact us, and then we would share our objections with people on the social media, but it cuts out the majority of people in the country. They have no idea what all this means. It took us 20 years to understand what all this means, and I'm sure we still miss the mark in many respects. It's molecular biology. It's very difficult to understand. It's very alienating. It's science. In the past, I have to tell you where farmers have made have submitted objections. They were ridiculed by the Executive Council. So if you don't raise sound science, you will be dismissed. So the whole system is rigged against the public. It's really, it's only the very elite scientists, elite group of people who can participate in the decision-making regarding GM crops.
Right. Miriam, listen, for now, I must thank you very much for your time this afternoon. Much, much appreciated.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, Miriam. Miriam Mayette is an emeritus for us this afternoon. She's Executive Director of the African Center for Biodiversity.